Please join me in a spirit of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A number of years ago, I was invited to preach about death at a church. And I mentioned at the beginning of that sermon that if I had been invited to preach over a number of weeks, I would have talked about the things we never talk about in church. Death, politics, money, sex. A lot of people came up to me at coffee hour and said they wanted to hear the sermon about sex. You'll get to hear that one in a couple of weeks. But today we're going to start with politics. And that seems appropriate given that based on the latest news reports, the New Hampshire primary is going to take place this Tuesday. But some of you, having read your newsletter, having looked at your bulletin, are thinking, didn't Steve say that this series had something to do with stewardship? And you might be wondering, what is the connection between things we don't talk about in church and stewardship? I've said from this pulpit many times, and I will continue to say from this pulpit, stewardship is not, or at least it should not, be church jargon for the fall fundraising campaign. Stewardship should be what our kids are doing downstairs, giving thanks for the many blessings in our lives, expressing our gratitude to God for all God does for us. And we do that with our money and our skills and our time. We do this by taking care of our community. Our community is supposed to be representative of God's kingdom. And it's a place that is supposed to be healthy and vibrant, one that prospers. And when I say prosper, I don't mean in a financial sense, but one that is strong and vital and growing. And how can we have a strong and vital and growing community if we decide that there are going to be topics that we just won't discuss or touch upon? Topics like politics and death and sex and money. These are all issues that touch each of us. And they've touched people throughout the world, throughout time. And if we as people of faith cannot engage these issues, then what really is our faith? Now, I've heard some of the objections to broaching these topics, particularly the one we're going to discuss today. These are private matters. Or we might start arguing. Or, what if my position is not the same as the pastor's? Does that mean that I am going to receive a lesser quality of care or attention? Let's address those notions. Working backwards. I would never, ever, ever decide what kind of pastoral care someone were to get because of the way they voted. I'm called to be the pastor of everyone in this church. No qualifiers. And my hope is that you, as pastors to one another and to me, feel the same way. What about the idea that maybe we would disagree, that maybe we might argue? Does hiding our disagreements make them go away? Does it make the problems disappear? I don't think so. I think that as a community of faith, we need to have confidence in one another, to talk to each other, to engage with one another, to tackle issues where there might be different opinions. Who knows? Maybe we can learn from one another. Maybe our horizons can be broadened. And then what about this notion that these are private matters? That runs into a slight roadblock. It's sitting in front of you in your pews, this Bible, which is filled with stories of faithful people. People like Amos, who don't shy away from engagement in the issues of the day. Amos, Hosea, Micah, Isaiah, Jesus. They all speak to political issues. They are motivated by faith to address injustice and corruption. They are willing to speak truth to power. They are called by God to do so. The story that Jesse read a few minutes ago should give us pause. Because at first, it might seem like it's about a long ago, far away confrontation between Amaziah, the court prophet, and Amos, the herdsman. I'm going to guess that nobody in this room has ever met a court prophet. And the odds are very few of us have met herdsmen or dressers of sycamore trees. But let's look at these two people a little bit differently, and then the story comes into focus for us. Amaziah is on the king's payroll. He's the guy with the legitimacy, the credibility, the degrees, the certification. He draws his authority from the king. We live in a republic. You and I are the king. You and I are the sources of authority. Hold that for a moment. Then think about Amos. And where is Amos drawing his authority from? From God. Now, Amos could have stayed home. He could have worried about his trees and his animals. But he felt called by God to speak out on behalf of others. He saw things were wrong, and he wasn't going to accept that. He felt, he knew that Israel was corrupt. Israel was going to collapse. And the fact that there was a covenant was not going to save them. Now, we like to think we're special here in America, but we do not have a covenant with God. And if God was willing to exact judgment on Israel, with whom he had a formal covenant, we we'd better be careful. I am not going to tell or suggest to anyone how you vote or who to support. But we as a community of faith need to bring our beliefs into the voting booth. We need to bring them into our political involvement. We need to be engaged. We cannot, as Christians, say that we are going to judge issues like tax policy or immigration or national security based on our bank accounts or our perception of what makes us safe alone. If we are followers of Jesus Christ, then the first and foremost thing that needs to be driving our evaluation of these issues is what we have been told in Scripture. And there is a lot of talk about particular issues and people in Scripture. A lot of time and attention is given to the poor and the oppressed and the widows, to the stranger. To officials doing the right thing. If we feel that our government, whether run by Republicans or Democrats, is going off the rails, we can't blame it on lobbyists or politicians. We need to speak up and get involved. We need to vote. We need to encourage others to vote. We have two flags at the front of our sanctuary, our American flag and our interdenominational church flag. Neither of these, though, can be the focus of our ultimate allegiance. Neither the state nor the institutional church. As Christians, the thing that ultimately lays claim to us is what is represented by the cross, our risen Lord. Sometimes that can make being a citizen difficult. It can be easier to go along and get along. Yet when we do that, when we turn a blind eye, then we are complicit. So we need to speak out and talk about issues with one another and as a community. We need, as Christians, to be prepared to speak up about where our tax dollars are going and how they're being used. We need to be prepared to hold our elected officials to account. We need to do it on the national level and the state level and at the local level. I hope that we can begin to engage in discussion around these issues. That we have enough confidence in one another to trust each other, that we'll listen, not fight, but try to understand where people are coming from. That we will believe in the strength of our community and know that we are a people called. That we are a people called to witness to the love and grace and justice that we know in and through our God.